meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome. A good Tuesday, third week of Advent. Tomorrow, believe it or not, the O Antiphons begin, so we might talk about that today. Got to talk about joy, because we didn't talk about that yesterday.
Right, we forgot it.
We got to talk about joy.
What is that?
It always helps if you're in a joyful mood to talk about joy, you know.
But, it helps. It helps.
And it is. So how is everybody, Geraldine?
Joyful.
What's your name?
Well, whoever you are sitting there.
Joyful, yeah. So you get your parking space this morning, and you're happy about that?
I know. I thank you very much, Father.
You're more than welcome. I meant that I had to walk around a little bit farther.
I'm
but that's
sorry.
Okay. You know.
Thank you for your support.
Exactly. So, wow. Multitask.
I know.
Yes. I have to say it every day. I have to say it. I have to get it off my chest, otherwise, because I don't know where I'm going. So we had confessions for the children this whole week. I have the confessions. I have the confessions. So all week, so we have the morning, we have the morning mass.
Parish.
Then I have the confessions. We're dealing with a financial report. I'm trying to get this other letter done for the Epiphany, because of the holidays, we're always thinking 2 weeks ahead of ourselves because we got to meet deadlines. So I got that. Did the Holy Family, that was yesterday for the Feast of the Holy...
Yes, that was
we're going to have the Feast of Christmas, then immediately after the Feast of the Holy Family, and then the Feast of the Epiphany, the Feast of the Three Kings, and then the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. That will end the Christmas season. So we're already talking about the season that hasn't yet come. But a week from tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? When's
yes.
Christmas?
When? Yes, a week from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Thursday.
Yes.
On Thursday, so it's a week from tomorrow. I can't believe we're in the O Antiphons already tomorrow. So at Thanksgiving, I was doing great because I was way ahead of myself. I was way ahead of myself, mm-hmm. right? Because I had the Christmas Thanksgiving Day, Friday, Saturday. Got a lot done. So I thought I'm way ahead of myself, and now I feel like I'm way behind. So trying to catch up.
And do you feel as though you have already missed Christmas and everything that it's come and gone, and you didn't know it?
It's funny that you say that, because in a way, it's yeah.
I know.
In
it
a way,
like it.
Yeah. Anyway, so it is. You know, and actually, if I go back to the Christmas letter, I think I speak about the hustle and the bustle and everything's hectic and people get
they get into that Christmas spirit.
They get out of the Christmas spirit.
To be funny, because it's the opposite.
It's the opposite until we come to the holy night, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because there is something, I want to use the word magical, mystical, about the midnight mass. It's always been in you know, not just the midnight mass, but especially the midnight mass, but all the masses of Christmas. There are three masses of Christmas. And, of course, there are those who want us to change the hour of the midnight mass, make it earlier. And that doesn't compute for me. I mean, the midnight mass midnight mass. So it's a sacrifice we make once a year, but it's so beautiful. But that's when it all just kind of, everything kind of falls into place, you know. And I express that in the letter, that it's just this, all of a sudden this moment of calm where we just kind of swept up into infinity, you know, into the mystery of it all, into the magic and the mysticism of the season. It is a beautiful, beautiful season. It's a beautiful feast. It really is. But we're not. It's not yet there. We have a lot to do between now and then. And
I think I can.
Yeah, just don't blink.
Just don't blink, right? So I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. I'm thinking about the financial report, and I realized, oh my gosh, I hadn't even put attention to this part of it, and so I couldn't get back to sleep because I had to. You know, I was almost tempted to get, you know, go downstairs.
No, I
didn't do it, but I was tempted, you know. And but by 5 o'clock in the morning, I was on the computer making these changes and, you know, asking for this or that or whatever. I had to, anyway, but here we are. And Tony, you're on time today. That's odd.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. So what's your problem?
I don't know.
Anyway.
He's all excited about recording in a little while.
Oh, he's going to record?
Yes.
I thought you recorded yesterday.
No, he didn't.
I love these people here.
Well, I find it much harder to record than just to speak extemporaneously as I do, like right now. But anyway, joy. Well, you know, let me just, gosh, where do I want to go? How does the Spirit want to, Lord, where are you taking us? I have to mention this. Because I thought this was very interesting. You know who Frank Capra is, don't you? Well, let me ask you this. I just ruined it for myself because I wanted to ask a question.
And then who is the person?
Frank Capra.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Well, let me ask a question anyway and see what you think. What is the most, what would you say, in your opinion, what is the most popular Christmas movie?
Well, The Christmas Carol, no?
The Christmas Carol.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. So Capra, directed the movie It's a Wonderful Life. You probably know all the movies, Geraldine. Geraldine, what? I keep calling you Geraldine today. Geraldine, do you know any of his other movies? Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
Never saw that.
You never saw that? That's a classic, isn't it?
I know, but...
Yeah. I thought you saw that.
I was into cowboy movies at that point.
Ah, okay. That doesn't surprise me. but anyway, he was, he was an Italian-born American film director, producer, writer, very creative, an immigrant from Italy, did I say? Mm-hmm. Italian-born, from Sicily. This is really not Italy, is it? He's Sicilian. I think he's from Sicily, but it's Italy, you know. It's a Wonderful Life. But this is what he said. He died in 1991. And somebody sent this to me, and I just, I'm thinking, where does this, how this kind of fits together? Yesterday, the Holy Father said that he was speaking to people of the media, and he said specifically to the Italian TV personnel, and he says, you know, you've got to, Catholics in the media should have the courage to speak directly, telling the truth. Of course, here it says telling the truth, whatever that is. I think it means truth. Typo here.
Typo.
Telling the truth, telling the truth, and working to preserve it from all that distorts and twists it for other purposes. And he said, in reporting our current events, the media should avoid the twin dangers of providing too much irrelevant information, saturating our perceptions with an excess of slogans that annul our thoughts instead of setting them into motion, or oversimplifying stories to promote quick judgments. And finally, the Pope cautioned his audience to avoid the sins of the media, disinformation, slander, and defamation. Of these, he said, the most insidious is disinformation, which leads people to accept falsehoods or partial truths, or truths, truths.
Yes.
So anyway, so it's kind of related because Frank Capra, well, I mean, he's certainly a media personnel. But this is what he wrote, and somebody sent this to me the other day, and I read it, and I got to be careful how I read it because there's a lot of stuff here that is politically
correct,
absolutely, totally incorrect.
Good.
Oh, well, good. That's a good thing.
Sorry, is this a good thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's see. But this is he wrote this in 1971. He expressed his feelings about the shifting film industry. Now, keep in mind, one of the favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life, right? Which really teaches something, right?
Yes.
All these films of that era, there was something that there was a moral principle, there were virtues that were being mm-hmm. communicated, conveyed, inculcated, right, taught. And so he, interestingly, he begins his quote by saying, the winds of change, the winds of change. By the way, I want to thank somebody. Yesterday we got a donation of $1. So I want to thank whoever it was. It was very nice. I actually received an email. No return address, nothing but $1 donation was sent. So I want to express my gratitude.
And those dollars pile up.
You better believe it.
We always get that $1.
Exactly.
So it adds up.
Yeah. But anyway, so the winds of change, this is what he writes. The winds of change blew through the dream factories of make-believe, tore at its crinoline tatters. Do you know what that means? Crinoline or crinoline?
It's a petticoat, isn't it?
Could be.
I think.
Yeah, that would be your era. At its crinoline tatters, the hedonist. I just don't want to read all this because it's going to, let me just, I'm going to omit some of these because it's just too strong for people. The hedonist and then the blank and the blank bleeding hearts, well, hemophiliac bleeding hearts, the God haters, the quick buck artists who substituted shock for talent all cried, shake 'em, rattle 'em, God is dead, long live pleasure, nudity, yeah, wife swapping, yeah, liberate the world from prudery, emancipate our films from morality, kill for thrill, shock, shock, to hell with the good in man, dredge up his evil, shock, shock. He added, in his opinion, practically all the Hollywood filmmaking of today is stooping to cheap, salacious pornography and a crazy bastardization of a great art to compete for the patronage of deviates, and I'm not going to use the other word because it's a word I just can't use. But he said that
wow.
in 1971.
Good for him.
In 1971.
Wow.
It's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
Because, you know, I keep talking about this, I suppose here, but if you read my letters, I'm not talking about people out there, but our listeners, but mm-hmm. In the parish, you know, almost every week there's a letter that I write, and in fact, as I said, I was this morning working on the letter for the Feast of the Epiphany, and I'm very happy about it, but then I have to ask myself, where's my joy? Where's the joy? Because you look around and you read the news and it's just overwhelming sometimes. It's overwhelming. And not only that, but listening to people's stories,
you know, what's
going on in their own personal
yes.
lives. And I think this is something that we have. This is what would I say? We're very close. Aside from, even if I didn't, the temptation is, you know, not to go into the news, not to look at the news, not to read the news, because there's so much stuff out there. And then you got to sift through what is true, what is not true. But when you're dealing with people's personal lives, mm-hmm. and you're dealing with the wounds and the suffering, then you know you can't help but have a certain sadness. You
yes.
know, so even as I'm writing this letter on the Feast of the Epiphany, I said, and I brought it up the other day here on the radio that the Feast of the Epiphany is a clarion call to war. Now, not in the we're not talking about, you know, we don't have weapons that we pick up in battle. I mean, there is a certain justification for that in certain ways in certain times, but certainly no justification for violence. You know, it's just contrary to who we are. It should be. But we're living in a reality that there has to be the defense of truth and the mm-hmm. defense of life, right? In any case, it's the... what I'm suggesting is, as I was thinking as I'm writing this already, looking at the Epiphany, that Herod called for a secret meeting, to what? But to deceive the Magi, you know,
mm-hmm.
as, you know, tell me, you know, where is the child, the child king? Because I too, I want to go and pay him homage. You know, and I was thinking as I was reading it. So, and even though the Epiphany doesn't go into the massacre of the innocents, we will see that certainly during the Christmas season. But I thought, you know, is this not on one? Because on one hand, the Magi, they're overjoyed as they come into the into the Bethlehem scene as they enter into the home of or the wherever Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin, is with a child, the infant of Bethlehem, the Christ child, and they're overjoyed. This is the word it says. They were overjoyed, and they prostrate themselves in order to do him homage. And then, of course, they will bring their gifts before the newborn king. And then, of course, they leave by another route.
Route.
Oh. I'm confused because I was reading that we say it one way, others say it other way, whatever. Route, you say, or route?
Route.
I think if you're in Chicago, you say route. Route.
I say route.
Route? Maybe it is route. But anyway, the point is they avoided Herod. And, of course, Herod goes out to immediately he orders that all the boys under 2 years old and under mm-hmm. be massacred, that they be put to death with the hope that he would bring to demise the Christ child. But as I was writing, I was thinking about this, because I still got this idea of joy in my head. We're going to take a break and come back to that. But I guess, again, as I said yesterday, I asked, how do we constitute, what constitutes joy, Christian joy? Because you can't help but feel a sadness when you see people suffer. And maybe that's certainly this is a thing I was suggesting as well, you know, how we have taken, I'll tell you, this is the sin of the church. And that I'm not talking about the magisterium of the church, but I'm talking about what we as priests or as parents or as religious, whatever, we like all the soft things of the scripture, and we try to avoid the point is that when I say the call to battle, the call to war, it's I'm very conscious of the fact that this is a language that for decades already we've tried to eliminate from our language, right? Anything that speaks of violence or war. But the fact is, you can't read the whole of Scripture and not understand that we're talking about a major spiritual battle. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, the sword. Those who live by the sword die by the sword, as Jesus said. But that we are in a battle, and we're kind of, what would you say? We've so softened ourselves that we're the in secret and in deception, you know, we're being slaughtered. Mm. We're being slaughtered. A civilization, a nation, families, a religion, you know. We let it happen. We let it happen because we're not living the faith. We have no time for the things of God and all things sacred. Or when we do, take the example of the media. It's all superficialized. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to take a break here. I mean, he's right to my left, I know, and Nick is already...
He'll bring out his dagger. Watch out, Father.
No, you don't. But, you know, the point being that I lost my train of thought. I lost it. So I think it's...
Simon's fault.
What was I going to say about that? Anyway, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and... are you with me on this? You understand?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So we'll be right back. Don't go away, everybody. We'll be back. And I forgot what I'm supposed to say. My name is, I am Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. What is a saint anyway? Although I was imprisoned for 7 years during a terrible persecution of the church under the pagan Roman Emperor Diocletian, I'm one of the first saints honored not because I suffered a bloody martyrdom like St. Peter or St. Paul. I was called a saint because people began to say, Nicholas loves Jesus so much that you can see a lot of Jesus in him. And that's what a saint is, someone who wants to become more and more like Jesus, who is the light of the world each and every day of our lives. One day when a class of parochial school students were in church, their pastor asked the assembly of children, what is a saint? Then a first grade girl pointed up to a stained glass image of a saint saying, saints are those people who let the light in. And so as we celebrate the birth of Christ, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Christ is born. Glorify him.
Welcome back, everybody. Let your light shine. Let your light shine.
Not your light.
Geraldine?
Yes, Father.
Let your light shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine. Well, I tell you, you know, one of the things, this reading was so beautiful this morning that at Mass from the Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. I'm having problems today. Every day I have problems. I said, why should this day be any different from any other day? But a very beautiful, because this is what we need, you know. I'm telling you right now, people, you know, it's, as I was saying before, and I still didn't get my, the thought hasn't come back into my mind, but we are, because of our indifference, or because we're lukewarm, or because we're
caught up
stubborn,
into ourselves.
We're not, you know, virtue, hard work, mm-hmm. principles, values, the faith, where is God? I get these are questions that we have to ask, especially as we're preparing for the feast of Christmas. It was amazing. I asked the children and all that, and, you know,
they're oblivious. Or,
well, they just, I don't know.
They're
it's
not
just,
being taught.
It's not being taught.
They're not
you know,
being
it's
taught.
Not that you can't blame the children.
No.
You gotta, parents, adults have to ask themselves, you know, why is it, what is it that keeps us from proper worship? From, you know, what does it take to give an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half of your time on Sunday, which is our still our obligation, it's still our responsibility to participate in the public worship of the church. And in doing so, we give public witness. But people don't, they're not doing it. The vast majority of people don't. It is a matter of, you know, nurturing that discipline, cultivating the mm-hmm. discipline, because it's not always easy. And the devil, I do believe the devil tries to, you know, I want to make a holy hour, or I want to go to the chapel, and it's amazing how all of a sudden all these other things get in the way.
Yeah.
And none of those things are for the most part even important, but I find myself distracted here. I got to go there. I got to do this first. I better do that. Better check this out or whatever. And all I'm doing is wasting time not getting into the chapel, mm-hmm. you know? And why is it all of a sudden when I want to do that, mm-hmm. you know? But anyway, in view of all the things that are going on, and you can't we can't have our heads in the sand. We've got to be in the reality. You know, that's part of the problem is perhaps we're not living in reality. We're living in cyberspace, or we're under the dominion of the pop culture. As I mentioned, you know, I'm always talking about that. That's why I found this fascinating what Frank Capra was saying. That was in 1971. Can you imagine what he'd be saying today? But anyway, the reading today, Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians, he says, you know, rejoice always. Okay, there we go, the joy, right? Rejoice always. But again, what constitutes our joy? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Test everything, retain what is good, refrain from every kind of evil. May the God of peace make you perfect. Oh, this is actually Sunday's radio. This isn't the radio.
I know it's not
but
today.
But this is a beautiful radio, yeah. Isn't it? It
talks about joy.
It's Zephaniah.
Yeah, because of God ate this Sunday, of course. You know, I was trying to sing with it. Anyway, but so may the God of peace, the God of peace, that's just the antithesis of war, right?
Right.
Even though I say we're at the clarion call to war, we are in a battle. But let it be the God of peace who resides within us, making us perfectly holy, entirely spirit, soul, and body, preserved blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will accomplish it. He is the Lord of history. So that was actually Sunday's reading, right? But today's reading was Zephaniah. Even when I said Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, I thought, no, it wasn't Thessalonians. But, I guess I was mistaken. But I was right. It's Zephaniah. This reading this morning from the prophet. And see, here's during the season of Advent, we're looking back, we're remembering. Remember what I said yesterday, what makes Jesus distinct of all other prophets, quote-unquote, or founders of religion? But he was foretold. For centuries, he was foretold. There was a historical God, the God of history, is preparing the way, you know, forming. We would say that all this is conceived in the fiat of Abraham, who gives his consent, his assent to do the will of God. And it was at that point that God really begins in a very specific way to break into history. And then through the sojourn of the Israelites for nearly 2,000 years, the church, Christ is in the embryonic, the church. Because you can't, again, here you are, already we can't separate the head from the body, the bride from the bridegroom. But everything is being prepared and foretold, the typologies, everything. You look back, we begin with Christ, and to understand who Jesus is, we have to read backwards. We have to go back and extrapolate from the Hebrew Scripture, right? And this is what the Gospels do, as a matter of fact. But so during this time of Advent, we're listening to the prophetic messages, and the prophet today we had the prophet Zephaniah, who speaks about the rebellious and the polluted and the tyrannical corruption, the need for correction, let's just maybe relate this to a Frank Capra, who was probably a prophet in his own. Well, certainly prophetic, right? When you think of his films, mm-hmm. very prophetic,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we still go back to those because we learn something from that, something that gives us a sense of purpose in life, you know. Especially, it's a wonderful life, you know. When you're ready to throw yourself off the bridge, when you're in the dark of the deepest of the dark, you know, and it's you're ready to call it quits. And no, there's purpose and meaning to life. It's a wonderful life. We're lovers of life, you know, because we know. Our destiny. We know what has been revealed to us, what we've seen, you know, because we can peer into eternity now. We are lifted up into God's infinity. And so we're deeply committed to life. And again, that brings us back to the sadness of the soul when we see that it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be all this darkness and this dysfunction and this division and the slaughter and the violence and all this. In our own streets, in our own homes, and throughout the world. But in any case, much like in the time of the prophet Zephaniah, you know, all this rebelliousness, everything is polluted, the tyrannical city, he calls it. But then he goes on to say, you need not be ashamed of all your deeds, your rebellious actions against me. Listen, I'm jumping around here. He says, okay, so I will remove from your midst the proud braggarts, and you shall no longer exalt yourself on my holy mountain. He says, I will leave as a remnant in your midst. So he's really chiding those who think they can get on without God, who are guilty of all kinds of idolatries, have no time for worship, no time to humble themselves, no time to give thanks, no time to remember, you know, from where they had come and what God had done, you know, in their history. And so he's, and they brag about it. they brag about it. This is much like today.
Mm-hmm.
This is the letter you translated. I said, you know, yes. we brag ourselves into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we said we'd be careless and carefree. Yeah, well, let's celebrate our freedom, you know. This is freedom. This is American freedom these days. Be careless. Be carefree. You know, you're your own God, you know. It's all about you, you know. Radical individualism, radical secularism. So brag about it. Yeah, let's all have a good time. But we brag ourselves into a sort of slavery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it's what Zephaniah is revealing through. The Lord is revealing to Zephaniah, yeah, okay, I'm going to remove these proud braggarts from your midst, and I shall, but I will leave as a remnant in your midst a people humble and lowly. This is the Anawim. We speak about the Anawim, who shall take refuge in the name of the Lord, the remnant of Israel. They shall do no wrong and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouths a deceitful tongue. They shall pasture and couch their flocks with none to disturb them. The mystique of the Anawim, I love this, the Anawim, the poor of Yahweh, the little flock. I remember Jesus the night before he died, he says, my little flock. He didn't say, you know, my big flock. He says, no, my little flock. He says, better that I go, that I stay with you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you orphans. And God has always worked through it. Let me just say this, that, you know, it's a miracle when you look back over history, the fact that the church is still vibrant, maybe not vibrant in the eyes of the world, but the fact that the Spirit is still moving through the church, through the people of God, as Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail, Upon you I build. To Peter, right? You are rock, and upon this rock I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now he goes on to say, you know, you're gonna have scandal, people are gonna walk away, people are gonna be deceptive, the deceivers, the braggarts, the liars, those who distort, those who tickle the ear and lead others. You know, we have to remember that nothing new under the sun, but God ensures for Himself a small flock. You know, who will keep the faith and will suffer the faith. I go back to what Pope Benedict said, that the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. So it brings us back again to the question of joy. So we'll take a break and maybe we'll try to answer that question. We still haven't done that. What constitutes Christian joy? By the way, just before we take the break, this morning... Our deacon Nick Flores, his Nydia, his wife, they've been preparing couples for marriage for so many years. But her mother, 91 years old, I was there the Sunday before to anoint her. I think I mentioned that, but she passed on this morning, and it was interesting. I was talking to her daughter Nydia on the phone, and she died a year ago on this day at about the same time her sister died.
Mm-hmm.
The mother's sister died. So I mention that because last week, if you recall, Richard Kukla died.
Right.
Again, from his sister, very devoted to the rosary and to the faith, and her husband, Ernie and Phyllis. And he died on the day of his baptism. And there was another, I was thinking of, because I've been thinking about Jacob Klepacz.
Oh, yeah.
Who was, as I mentioned, I don't think I mentioned his name yesterday, but he was, we've talked about him on a number of occasions, but he was tragically murdered in May. I think it was the 1st of May last year, the last of April, the 1st of May of last year. And his grandfather had died 40 years before on the same day in the same way.
Wow. And then you mentioned the two other... The mother and the daughter?
And the mother and the daughter, yeah.
40 days apart 40 from
days
each other.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's where I'm getting the 40, but because Jacob's grandfather was killed on the same day. I don't know if it was 40 years. I don't know if it was that there was a 40-year difference, mm-hmm. but the same day that yes. Jacob. But then that's right, Maria and Mirtha,
yes.
Mother and daughter. So anyway, I just say that because what is hidden from the wise and the learned, revealed to the simple ones, the believers, you know, those who in a humble way keep the faith. And in all cases, these were, I always think of Jacob who came and asked for confirmation, you know, just very humbly, quietly came and asked to be confirmed. You know, it's a beautiful thing. So anyway, what does it all mean? It just, you know, again, we've been swept up into infinity, God's infinity, which keeps us ever committed to life. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Forming Faithful Families is now offering our 15-episode video series on DVD, filmed in stunning high definition with a free downloadable Small Faith Discussion Group program guide. We hope that you will consider purchasing, implementing, and promoting this video series at the personal and small group level. Forming Faithful Families is a faithful and trustworthy parish-based and small faith community program for marriage and family life faith formation in service to the new evangelization pertaining to the Catholic faith. Listen to this recommendation. Firmly grounded in the teaching of the Catholic Church, sacred scripture, and the wisdom of the saints, with this series, James and Kathleen offer a thirsty world a refreshing and satisfying drink. It also makes a great gift with eternal benefits for both the giver and the receiver. To order your DVD set today, visit formingfaithfulfamilies.com or call 708-334-1988. That's formingfaithfulfamilies.com or call 708-334-1988.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. What's today again? Tuesday of the third week of Advent. So Sunday, just 2 days ago, was Gaudete Sunday, which means joy. That's the third Sunday of Advent. What do we do different on that Sunday?
The vestments.
The vestments. What about the vestments?
The color is different.
The color. What color?
Rose.
Rose. Okay. Which is a color for signals or signifies what?
Spring. Joy.
Joy. Joy.
Joy.
Joy. So be happy. It's a little bit of a break in the penitential nature of the season because it is a time, it is a penitential season. People don't think so often of Advent is penitential, but it is. It's a call to be vigilant. You know, we're called to be vigilant. Wake up. Wake up. Be vigilant. Your Lord is coming, you know. He has come and he will come again. But we have to be ready. We have to be ready. Let him, what was that, the gospel, maybe the first Sunday of, because we ended the year and then we began the year with a similar theme, different gospel readings, but don't let the Lord come and find you sleeping or lazy, doing nothing, you know, but be attentive. You know, what is that, to be attentive? What does that mean, attentiveness? You know, I keep thinking of Jesus as to pray constantly. St. Paul, pray unceasingly, to have the mind and the heart always turned toward God.
Right.
And why would we not? Why would we not? Yeah, because the Lord would disapprove of certain things, right? He says, you know, you got to change this about yourself, or, you know, you don't want to go in that direction. Don't want to go down that road, you know, but I want to, you know. It's an easier way, or it's a, you know. No. He says, you come down this narrow path. It's a difficult path, of course, but it's the path to a proper order within yourself. It brings harmony and peace. And then you're able to make a proper contribution to the well-being of society, not to add to the decadence, to the disorder, to the division, the diabolical disorientation, everything upside down. Things are upside down. Don't you think?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right. So we're on the same page. But joy. So Gaudete Sunday. And now this is just kind of fits into this, the O antiphons. I say, hopefully say something about that before the end of the show as well. But there was this, the headlines all over the, in all the papers and, you know, the newspapers and news items or whatever. It was, you know, this one quote made by the Pope. Well, one thing the Pope said at St. Peter's was, no one has ever heard of a saint, a sad saint, with a long face. There's no such thing as a sad saint with a long face. No one, he's speaking off the cuff. Well, you have to learn that he was speaking off the cuff. You don't get that. But no one has ever heard of a saint or a sad saint with a long face. And then I, as I said yesterday, I thought, well, I guess that writes me out, you know, because I do have a sadness. I do I consider myself a bit melancholic. Is that the word?
Melancholy.
A little bit of melancholy. What is, how would you define that, melancholy?
Just like me.
Oh, heaven help us.
Well, no.
Whoa.
Yeah, all right.
She told you.
I think so.
A certain sadness.
I think so. But that doesn't negate the fact that we have joy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't see you as a sad person.
No.
I mean, we joke about your sadness, but mm-hmm. but I don't see you as a sad person.
Sometimes I see myself as a sad
person. Well, sir,
person,
of course. Sure, of course.
Push past
you're
that,
close to yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because we
too full of myself.
You know what's, well, I think sometimes we're all working against that.
Right.
But what's interesting in life is that we never see ourselves really the way people see
exactly.
us, because we're always looking at the world from within, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We're looking out. Isn't that weird when you think about that? You can never really step outside yourself.
No. Mm-hmm.
Even if you see yourself on film or if you hear yourself, or you know, whatever, and people can, the point is, that's why I think it's really important that we remain really in Christ, that we cleave to the Lord, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we want to grow into our true self, mm-hmm. then the best place to be is to be in relationship with God, you know, because he's not gonna, he's gonna hurt us. Yeah, he is. He is.
Yeah.
He's gonna, you know, refine the rough edges, and that hurts a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit.
Oh, yes.
But we appreciate it when he does that,
yes.
because it's, you know,
it's needed.
Yeah, exactly. But joy. But again, what constitutes, so anyway, I pulled out the text of the Pope's exhortation or homily mm-hmm. at the Vatican on Sunday. And then I found that indeed that quote was something that he just spoke off the cuff, mm-hmm. off the cuff, you know. And for some that's good, for others that's not so good. But what is he saying, you know? But he says, you know, I first of all, he thanks the people for their presence, wishing everybody a Merry Christmas. The theme of his exhortation, his teaching on Sunday, was prayer and joy, prayer and joy. And he said, you know, that the prayer is the breath of the soul. And it's important to find moments during the day to open our hearts to God, even with short, simple prayers of the Christian people. And they gave out prayer books to everybody in the square, with the traditional prayers of the church for different times of the day. So that was kind of nice. But he said the human heart wants joy, and we do. We want joy. The question is, where do we find that? Every family, every people aspires to happiness. But what is the joy that Christians are called to live and witness? It's the one that comes from God's closeness, from his presence in our lives. When Jesus entered history with his birth in Bethlehem, humanity received the seed of the kingdom of God like a field that receives the seed of the coming harvest. You no longer need to look elsewhere. Jesus came to bring joy to all and forever. This is not only a joy hoped for or put off in heaven, but a real and palpable joy in the here and the now, because Jesus himself is our joy, and he is our peace. He is alive. He is the risen one and works in us and among us, especially with the word and the sacraments. So with Jesus, joy dwells in us and all of us who are baptized, children of the church, are called to renew our welcome to God's presence in our midst and help others to discover it or rediscover it if they had forgotten it. This is a very beautiful mission. This was the mission of John the Baptist, who directed people towards Christ, not ourselves, because Jesus is the goal toward which the human heart turns when seeking joy and happiness. And so we have to be missionaries of joy, as the Pope said, to pray. And that means praying without ceasing. It means giving thanks in all circumstances. He's quoting from the same reading that I just quoted from Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians. It means not quenching the spirit. It means retaining what is good and refraining from every kind of evil. And to discover or rediscover in our homes and our families that Jesus is our salvation, and that in Him one can find inner peace, and the strength to face every day the different situations of life, even the heaviest and the most difficult. So what constitutes joy? I'll make this comparison, or this what I found very appealing, very attractive about Mother Teresa of Calcutta and also Pope John Paul II. I mean, truly, Pope Francis is he's a happy pope. He's a happy, jolly pope. But and that's fine. I'm happy for him that he's happy. I really am. But Mother Teresa, when I met Mother Teresa, I saw in her, I experienced in her this deep, deep, deep sadness. But at the same time, and this is the mystery of it all, a deep, deep joy that I had never experienced in such a way in anybody. It was an interesting paradox, right? And I saw that in John Paul II as well. In fact, I've read this, that sometimes he would, because when you think of the office of the papacy, you know, when you carry that, you bear the world on your shoulders. And of course, because Satan wants the division and the destruction of the church. You know, we're in a spiritual battle, and we will be until Christ comes at the end of time. But that he would go up and he'd weep, Pope John Paul II, at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross. We've got this beautiful picture of him in my office. Somebody gave it to me as a gift.
Yes, I was thinking of that image, exactly. Father.
And it, especially as he came to the end of his life, you know. But he had great joy. He had great joy, but you think of what he saw, what he went through in the course of his life, you know, and what he suffered from the time he was a child. And yet it didn't, this is the beauty, this is the paradox, because there was a deep, deep joy, but you could, and how could you not? When you look around and you see what's happening in the world, and again, you say to yourself, this doesn't have to be. Again, I listen to people's stories on a day-to-day basis, and it doesn't have to be, but it is.
Yeah.
It is. You know, division within a marriage, the breakup of a marriage, a child that has gone astray. I'm just speaking of things that are very close to sickness. I mean, the sickness, okay, that has to be sometimes, you know, because that's part of, I mean, we get old. It shouldn't have to be, but it is. It has to be. Mm-hmm. It has to be, you know, because we're not destined to be here forever. We're, you know, the new order hasn't yet fully revealed itself, the full realization of the kingdom, but the kingdom is here. And so even in the midst of all, that's why we say what? If you want to find the fountain of youth, you know, you got to find Christ, right? You got to find Christ, because even as the body gets older and begins to deteriorate and eventually dies, the spirit nonetheless gets younger. There's a beautiful thing that happens in the interior of one's life. And that's, by the way, I remind everybody that that's why we would never, ever support euthanasia.
Yeah.
Because you cannot deprive people that the inner working of the spirit in the soul of that person, even in suffering, you know, what looks really, really bad from under the eye, under the gaze of our own eyes, can be deceptive, because there's a God is preparing that person, that soul, for the encounter when one passes from this life. In fact, it was interesting that Yvette, when she had emailed me a message, I was in between the children's confessions and said, you know, her grandmother is very, very sick. They give her 24 hours, you know, that's what the hospice said. And then it was just 20 minutes later, another message, grandmother is in heaven. You know, that's what she said. So very interesting. All right, we'll take a final break and we'll be right back. And we have to say something about the old antiphons, or maybe you guys want to say something about joy. I'm doing all the talking, not giving anybody a chance. So we'll be right back. Father Anthony, you're listening to Listeners Morning Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Why does he have to watch every single bowl game this week? Right, ladies? This is Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Men love football for the same reason they love to make love, become a father, seek adventure, experience mystery, and see beauty. For men, football is an experience of the spells of mystery through a sport. Mystically speaking, the point of football is to plant the seed in the end zone. The coveted end zone can only be approached with the greatest attentiveness and finesse. A pass reception becomes the conception of 6 new points, and the team celebrates their fruitfulness. So remember, ladies, football for him is an experience of the very dynamics contained in the spells of mystery. And gentlemen, don't forget where your real experience of the spells of mystery is found. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located 2 blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this, what is it, Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday in Advent, the third week of Advent. Talking about joy, you guys, I'm not giving you guys even a chance to say anything. You want to say anything?
No.
We're okay, Father. We're okay. Yeah. We're okay.
The thing when you were mentioning about the joy of Mother Teresa and mentioned Pope John Paul II, I always think of the image that you have in your office where he has the sadness, but this deep...
Pope John Paul II.
Yes, yeah. Pope John Paul II, this deep joy. He's embracing the crucifix and he's holding on to that. And that's what gives us the true joy and the strength to persevere and to endure everything that life, you know, throws at us. But yeah. Always like, when you say your prayers, Father, when you do the blessing, when somebody asks you for the blessing, that to look beyond the cross.
Right, exactly.
Into the life of the, that's that, what yeah. keeps us,
right.
That's what keeps the joy.
Exactly.
That hope that at the end of the tunnel, at the end of life, there's new life.
Exactly. We are in the... There is this reality of the Valley of Tears. Mm-hmm. I've always loved the Save Regina. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this Valley of Tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, and after this our exile, show unto us a blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. But because... So many people are suffering, and even if I'm not suffering, somebody is somewhere.
Yes.
And that, you know, as members of the, St. Paul speaks about that, right? Mm-hmm. That if one member is suffering, the mm-hmm. whole body suffers. And so there is inherent in our faith a suffering, a sadness, but it's not the despairing kind of sadness. It is an ability to see the cross. And by the way, that's why that image is so powerful for us. And that's why we keep the crucifix, because we need to know that God identifies with us. He understands. He's been there. He's done it. And even far beyond anything. Because I say, what is, oftentimes people will say, well, you know, Jesus suffered far more. He was crucified. Well, you know, that's true. That's true. But from, in some ways, it's, is it more than what others may be suffering? What makes it more, really, is not so much the physical suffering, which was, it's beyond, I mean, you can't even imagine the crucifixion, but
yes.
I don't want to downplay that. But what I do want to emphasize is we don't know, and I've mentioned this many times, we don't know what it was like, what it meant, what it felt to take sin into himself.
Yes.
Because remember, he sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what's so solely unique about the suffering of Jesus. Many people suffer physical suffering. I mean,
even like the other day you mentioned about the grief, the suffering of the mother
right.
losing her child. Our Blessed Mother was there when her son was being mutilated and crucified, and right. as he passed on, she was there at the foot of the cross.
Right. That's right.
She also understands the sufferings of a mother.
She fully participated
yes.
in the redemptive act, you know, yes. as we often call her the co-redemptrix, co-mediatrix, but she participates as we're all called to. I don't know why people have so much problem with that, because we're all called to share. In fact, as St. Paul speaks about mm-hmm. that, Jesus, mm-hmm. we share in the sufferings of Christ until, and again, it brings us right back to the whole theme of Advent, right? You know, then it's a remembering that he came, but that he will come again. Be vigilant, be awake, be prepared, and be, we must participate in the mission, which is a participation in the work of redemption, in the work of redemption, so that what can I do to lift you up and bring you closer to God, or what can God do in me and through me? That's why we don't always, most often we don't know the impact our life may have on another.
Mm-mm.
But if we begin our day just surrendering our lives to Christ, and it is it's a personal, it's an intimate, it's a real relationship.
Yeah.
So we're not here worshiping a God who is hidden in his heaven beyond the beyond, but God who has taken possession of my life. We allow him a possession of our lives so that he can do in us and through us what we cannot do, you know? So we can't underestimate the power of God working in us and through us. And I'm looking at the clock, and so that we're just about out of time. So we're going to hear the song in a moment. So tomorrow I'll talk a little bit about because it begins, the O Antiphons, which is the eager anticipation. It's really the cry, the longing, O come, Emmanuel, right? O come, wisdom, O Lord, O root of Jesse, O key of David, O king of the nations, O come, Emmanuel. By the way, that would be good to get that song on the. We have to mm-hmm. find that, you know, because it's a beautiful song. All right, I'm waiting for the. There we go. I know it was coming.
There, it's a coming.
Everybody, thanks very much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Strong, but the inside is right. It's time.